I do not have an inclination if I will succeed at this, but I have nothing, nothing that will hold me back.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. Oh my God, you guys, I am enjoying so much in this mobile podcasting studio thanks to Kia Niro. It's amazing with our chilled seats, the AC going, and we could still do a high audio quality podcast. You don't even get this in the office sometimes, having the AC running while you're doing a podcast. I'm really, really, really hyped to have women who start up on the Women in Tech show with me. Hello, Lizelle.
Hello, Esprit. What an honor, pleasure. What a delight. Thanks for having me.
Are we in Alice in Wonderland or what?
This it's surreal. I mean, I'm sitting here in your Kia. You're wearing the Woman Who Started Up t-shirt. Keep climbing all the way. Let's do this.
I love it. So go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell everybody about a little bit about what you do and why you started Women Who Start Up.
Do you want the 1 minute version, the 5 minute version,
let's
the Oprah version?
Let's do all the versions. I want the Oprah version, but let's start with your name.
We won't start with tears. Yeah. We'll start with laughter.
Yeah, tears.
So my name is Lizelle Van Vieren. I'm currently, one of the things I'm working on is Women Who Start Up, which is a global organization. We're a learning and engagement platform for a global community for female entrepreneurs and innovators. So that's a little bit of what I'm working on, but I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm a technologist. I'm a designer. I'm a producer. I've been working in technology since I was like 19. I've lived in Colorado for 20 years now. I've lived in Denver, Colorado for going on 13.
Right.
I'm originally born and raised in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
So that's a really long story. And crazily and interestingly enough, it is all due to entrepreneurship with my parents. So I love Denver. I love innovation. And I am a glutton for punishment, obviously, because I fight the good fight for equality and innovation and diversity and equity. And so for the last couple of years, pretty full blown, I have been trying to really figure out how I take technology, launch a really exciting platform that can help women connect on a global span.
I love it.
And exchange information. Women Who Start Up, I just recently soft launched Connect, which is our new platform.
Can you spell that?
Yeah, Women Who Start Up Connect.
It's the same website, but the Connect.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, womenwhostartup.com. You can learn about Connect. You can now become a member.
Yeah.
Of Women Who Start Up. Doesn't matter where in the world you are, it's a virtual experience where pretty much exchanging, learning, and engaging with other founders and innovators.
I love it.
Is what we do.
So I want to get into it. I'm going to jump ahead. It's something I usually talk about at the end right now because it's so related to the same sentiment you just said, which is connecting women in tech globally. So I shared with you that I have this compass bracelet,
yes.
Right? Here's the thing. So I was in Wilmington, North Carolina, traveling through the South.
Wow.
I was in this co-working space called Tech Mountain. There was a female founder in there. I asked her if I could interview her, of course. And she wasn't one of the scheduled interviews, but there was just something about her. I was like, I have to have you on the show. She comes on the show. She tells me about ShareYourCompass.com. So this one is 2111. So this is cork imported from Portugal. That's wow. made to look like genuine leather, and it's yep. gender neutral. And she makes them by hand.
Wow.
And the point of these bracelets, well, at least in our partnership, is that we want to connect women in tech globally, but not in the same way, in a very complimentary way. And this is why I wanted to go here. So I give this to you. You share your story on Share Your Compass of how you got this. And then you have in mind of a woman in tech that really inspires you. You give this to them. Mm-hmm. And then within two weeks, they give it to someone. Mm-hmm. And you guys are able to see where the bracelet has passed through on Very Share cool. Your Compass. And it's a way to like connect with like-minded people in the yep. community and just kind of unify us.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so I think actually that if you're open to it, I'd love to introduce you to her, because it seems like she does this for a larger community. My involvement with her is just women in tech.
Sure.
But I think it's cool like to have this physical way
Absolutely.
To connect, you know?
I think
Do you have
fabulous.
Someone in mind you're going to give it to?
Wow, I would have to give it some thought. I have some phenomenal people in my life,
yeah.
let alone women in technology.
So I have to bring them and bring out like 10.
Yeah. So I'll have to give that some thought, because there are different people for different reasons that I would really want to give that to that would kind of transfer that, and that would be
yeah.
very powerful.
All right, well, we're going to follow it. So it's 2111.
Okay.
And yeah, we'll look to see where it goes. And so just whoever you're going to give it to, it has to be a woman in tech, and it has to be in the next 2 weeks.
Copy that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is extremely cool.
You can see why I say, right? It's
yeah,
like,
very cool.
It's just, it's like real life social networking.
Yeah, but with yeah. something that's also beautiful and unique and
yeah.
and fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the compass thing. I like that there's
it's
a
so cool.
a real compass on
but
there.
But imagine her hands
mm-hmm.
made this.
That's right.
Like,
and we just keep handing it over.
Like all the things, like the little, you know, I don't know what these are called.
Right.
Just every
like, piece of it
was made with mm-hmm. passion and love and inspiration from a fellow woman in tech. I
love
mean,
it.
That just is like.
It's cool.
So she built her own site. She's totally self-taught.
I love makers. Much respect.
Anyway, so I thought that would be really cool. But let's talk about Women Who Start Up.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So when was it created?
So that's an interesting story, because the initiative of me wanting to connect with other women in business and in technology, has probably occurred for most of my adult life. But technically speaking, in January 2013, I was a part of, with a couple of other friends, and we basically just created a small little group.
Right.
We started to meet on a monthly basis, but September 2013, when I coined an event initially called Women in Tech during
right.
the second year of Denver Startup Week.
Right.
Like 2 weeks before that, I was like, oh no, one of the organizers told me, Lizelle, there's a conflicting name in events. You have to change the name of your event. And I was like, what am I going to call this?
Yeah.
And I came up with Women Who Start Up.
I actually love the name Women Who Start Up.
Yeah.
And there are so many organizations called Women in Tech.
It's right.
True.
There's an abundance.
Yeah.
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 So a beautiful accident. And this is how most of my life trajectory
yeah.
Occurs. And this is how some of the most powerful right. stuff happens. So lo and behold, Women Who Start Up was a little event during September 2013.
Right.
And that was the very beginning of what turned into then what I coined monthly events. And it was like a little meetup.
Right.
Okay. So it was
What's
like,
little? How many people?
Like we started at like 20 people, and then we were like 50 people, and then we were like 200 people. And the next
200?
Thing you know,
That's like, not little anymore.
And the next thing you know, we're like 500 people and then like 1500 people.
What?
And, yeah. And
and this is since 2012?
This is not really. This is like since that level of growth really started to grow when I literally established and incorporated, if you will,
right, right.
Women Who Start Up in January 2015.
Right.
So I want to say September 2014, 500 people showed up to Women Who Start Up during the third year of Denver Startup
right.
Week. That's our big annual event now. And we're about to have our fifth annual Women Who Start Up Summit during Denver Startup
so
Week.
So cool.
Yeah, right here on...
Give me five.
Yeah, high five.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and so... it's been a very crazy journey.
Yeah.
Alongside building Women Who Start Up, I have always built startups
right.
and products.
Right.
I have had my own companies. Yeah. I have tinkered on other people's companies. I've failed miserably at many. I have had some successes. I have experienced the gamut of everything that is involved in starting a company and building a product and taking it to market and raising funds. So I have that, but I have learned so much from so many people, especially from other women during the course of this. But it's been a rodeo. It's an unforgiving job to give your time, energy, blood, sweat, and tears to a group of people.
Wait, I get it.
I know. More than most people probably.
No, I'm gonna say more than I want to get it. but so you're not paid for Women Who Start Up.
So Women Who Start Up initially was a passion project. It was totally on the side.
Yeah.
Today it's an actual company. It is formalized now as. I would say a mission-driven impact enterprise.
Yeah.
When I say we, I have literally just here in June 2017 launched Women Who Startup Connect, which is our first actual initiative to launch a platform and a network that connects women globally and innovators globally so that they can collaborate and engage and learn and all that fun stuff. But this is now actually the very beginning. As a brand, as an entity, as a movement, as something that has events and content sharing.
Right.
Really started in January 2015, so that's fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm really only putting the wheels on this wagon in 2017. But what people don't understand is that's 5 years in the making. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I do. You and I are, we're twins. Started We Are LA Tech as a community project in 2012.
I've been watching you. I think you've been doing amazing things in LA.
Oh, my God.
Well, LA is blowing up now. We've got more investor money there.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
But, same thing. Started as a community project, and then I refused to call it a business because it was all about the community, so I called it a concept.
Great.
And then I had to own, this is actually really recent, I had to own that it was a business because if it's not a properly run business, it won't have the resource to serve the community.
Right. And this is where I think more women struggle.
Yeah.
So much passion, so much drive. They want to do so much good, but we have to focus on sustaining.
Yeah.
We have to focus on sustaining. I don't care if it's nonprofit. I don't care if it's social impact. I don't care if it's for profit.
Totally.
What you have to figure out is how do I make sure I sustain this? And I'm there right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm figuring out what components are for profit, what is going to be nonprofit.
Right, right.
Things are really going to change in 2018 in partnership with Galvanize. I'm going to launch at every Galvanize campus across the U.S.
Amazing.
In 2018. We'll see if that comes to fruition. That's the game plan. If life doesn't get in the way, I will make that happen, come hell or high water.
Let's touch base for a second because I want to get into your background on technology and when you first became passionate about technology. But before we move forward, I think we're bringing up a really interesting topic amongst the both of us, which is being a community builder or a community facilitator. And did you use the word thankless? Is that the word you use? And I feel too, it can be depleting sometimes. But I do it, and I imagine you do it for the same reason. We're serving a purpose larger than ourselves, and it just invigorates us. Mm-hmm. And so it's finding that balance and setting more boundaries. What kind of guidance would you give? Because the world needs community builders.
That's
Let's just be real.
And a lot more.
Yeah. What kind of guidance would you give someone who has an inkling to be in a community builder, but they're kind of put off by how heavy it can be at times?
Yeah, and I have to have that conversation with a lot of people. We have what's called base camps, and they're in 4 cities now, and we're going to be in 10 cities by the time, hopefully, 2018 calls quits. And so I have to have a lot of conversations with people in local startup communities who would love to be a woman and startup leader.
Yeah.
And they go, okay, so what does this entail?
Yeah.
How much energy is this going to take?
Yeah.
How much of my time is it going to take?
Yeah.
And I always go, well, listen, if you're in, there's two buckets here. If you're in this bucket, which is you're trying to figure out your life, you're trying to figure out your career, you're likely building something from scratch right now, please do not invest your sweat equity and your time into building my community right now.
Right.
I need you to be much further along.
Yeah.
And that's really important because you need to put you as number one.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, whether you're building your company, whether you're building your career, whether you're building your product, service, or whatever you're doing out there, please prioritize that.
Right.
Please become successful.
Right.
Please be a member and share your failures, your successes, your lessons, what you're trying, what we can help you try along the way, what's in our toolbox, what's in our arsenal that you can, then, only then, please only then consider plugging into this ecosystem and then, you know, leading in your ecosystem. I think the number one thing that a lot of people fail to appreciate is community building is a selfless act. It is a constant act. Yeah. You are constantly doing shit.
Yeah. Amen.
You're constantly like getting up and doing things and showing up for others and making sure that you are sponsoring others into positions of leadership and sponsoring them and mentoring them and throwing their asses into the deep end and saying, you can swim, you got this, and I believe in you and all that kind of stuff. And that is taxing.
Yeah.
And if you are new to it, young at it, and you haven't been doing it for a very long time, it will eat you alive, especially if you're not surrounded by community type of mentors who have been doing it for a long time. And at a certain point, if it doesn't break you or eat you alive, you do start to appreciate that community building is a very, very long game.
Yeah.
It is a marathon in play constantly.
Yeah.
And you have to facilitate leaders around you that are going to start carrying certain batons that you are not necessarily curating as if you're some god or goddess.
No,
but you are sharing. You are invigorating new leadership. Maybe they're younger, maybe they're wiser, maybe they're just different, and that's a beautiful thing. And you're constantly handing off batons for people to curate the community and make it more diverse, more unique, more valuable, more innovative, more successful.
I love that you say curating leaders. This is a really good point. So say that I'm ready to be a community leader. Let's like even in places like Bratislava and like, you know, Central Europe, all these places that I've been to, they want to build more community and they can't do it on their own. How do you cultivate leaders? How do you maintain quality control when a, I mean, your organization is huge. It's a global organization. And you have, how many would you say lead ambassadors do you have right now in your network?
We have thousands of people that are involved, whether that is plugged into our podcast, whether that is going to our meetups, whether that is just that know about the brand and support
and by the
brand.
Way, can you plug your podcast real quick? Where can people check
Women
out
Who Startup Radio. You can just check out womenwhostartup.com. Our podcast link will take you to our podcast on iTunes, on SoundCloud, you name it. Anchor now.
But yeah, so how do you maintain quality control?
Yeah, so is this a two-part question? Because like one thing that's really interesting is when you talk about community building and we're talking about women, we are likely when it comes to certain places also talking about some restrictive things. There's politics involved. There is maybe some sexist stuff involved. And I know that may sound crazy, but not every woman in any one community is necessarily encouraged to lead. Okay, so what we have to cultivate as women, as leaders, we don't even like you can be anyone, and anyone should invigorate women and everyone to lead within their ecosystems. There are a lot of hurdles that you and I may not see. You in Los Angeles, me in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
We are invigorated.
Right,
people get out of our way. We don't have to ask for permission.
Right.
Even though a lot of
I definitely don't ask for permission.
No, I mean I barely ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I just go, you know, and there, I have a lot of scars for that, but that is who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people want to be that. They aspire to be that. They want to commune. They want to get together on a monthly capacity and talk about technology or business or innovation or just learn from some other leaders that may look like them, think like them, speak like them, what have you. It just starts with more than you.
Right.
If you can just get to the point where you and one other person begin, that's it. This is about action. Community is always about action. Because if you can be two, you can be four. And when you, if you can be four, you can be 10. Because that...
How do you maintain at the 10th person? How do you make sure... You know, in a game of telephone, like by the time you get to the last person, the message is all jumbled.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make sure that 10th, that 20th, that 100th person leading your brand mission is delivering the level of quality that you initiated at the start?
You have to understand why. Why? You have to understand people's why. If someone is showing up for the Women in Tech podcast...
Right.
and their why is all mumbled and jumbled and confused, and they have no real direction.
Yeah.
They don't know what their north is.
Yeah.
You will fail in encouraging them to lead, let alone your brand.
Right.
But if you can appreciate someone's why, because you know, like, Women Who Startups why is to invigorate entrepreneurship in any ecosystem on planet Earth, and for those women to exchange that knowledge, because I love building culture of shared knowledge.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't we? We've got that. The internet.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
Right. So that shared knowledge is extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Because of 10 people with different types of whys, but the same kind of answer, which is, I want to build my company successfully. I want to hire better.
Right.
I want to cultivate myself as a leader and inspire other leaders. If at least those whys, what the motivation is behind the people who are showing up, if they align even a little, there is a lot more probability for success. If I have a room full of people, and I fail at this all the time, I invigorate people of all kinds to show up to Women Who Startup Basecamp events, which are every month in Boulder and Denver, Colorado Springs, now in Phoenix, soon in New York and Dude, Seattle.
Can we do another high?
Yeah.
Like, high five. That, it's incredible.
Well, I have no idea if I'm going to succeed, but I am literally giving everything I've got.
Can you say that one more time? You have no idea.
I do not have a inclination if I will succeed at this, but I have nothing that will hold me back.
Why?
Because this Women Who Startup for me, nobody made me do this. This is a part of who I am.
Yeah.
This is a part of how I want to see the world. This is a part of how I, honest to God, believe that the world requires more women in leadership, more women on boards, more women getting funding, more women becoming investors.
Yeah.
So that for me is a very, very core belief. And if you know anything about beliefs, it'll make you do crazy shit, good or bad or indifferent.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. Whatever you believe, you will run through fire for.
And that is my why for this show is I wanted to show people, be it male or female or alien, what's possible, you know? And because as long as you believe you can, only then is that the start to actually achieving your dreams.
That's right.
And so I wanted to, I want people walking away from this experience being like, if she can do it, so can I.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when did you first become in touch with the tech world and realize that this is an industry you're really passionate about, even on a personal level when you were a kid?
So, How do I describe myself? Like, I am an adventure junkie when I was a kid. I skateboarded, I rollerbladed, I played every kind of sport.
Yeah.
I was a tennis player, I was a swimmer, I played netball in South Africa growing up. So sport was my life. Art was also my life. I painted all the time. I also grew up on stage. Since I was 4 years old, I've been on stage.
Right.
So one would have thought, and I was certainly convinced that I was going to grow up to be an actor.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah.
So when I was 18, and even before that, I went on after high school here in Colorado. I went to school at CU Boulder. My first year, I studied performance arts and psychology.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to understand everything about human behavior.
Right.
That is certainly coming full circle.
No, I know. I'm like, this is totally paying off for what you do now.
So after a year that I do that, I really didn't appreciate the school. Everything was very large, very intimidating. I felt really lost and lost. And so I dropped out of college.
Right.
I worked odd jobs. I was a DJ since I was like 17. I would get into bars illegally and I would DJ house music.
My God, your history is amazing. I could talk to you for hours. Yeah.
I have a crazy background, but I grew up fast and I moved to this country with one backpack. I was 15 years old. I got on a plane and I left South Africa and I left my family behind and I went and I came here
how did you afford the plane ticket?
My mom moved here. My mom and my stepdad moved here in the early 90s, like 92, 93, 94. They sold the company to IBM.
They're in tech too.
So they were certainly entrepreneurs. They were certainly in the tech space. In South Africa, they worked for IBM, Microsoft before that. So I grew up, my father was also an entrepreneur of different sorts, but my mom was always kind of in this world. And I didn't know it really,
right?
I appreciate it obviously now when I'm an adult and stuff. But so it was a strange set of events that led me to Colorado of all places on the map on planet Earth.
It's a great place.
It is a great place. It is a really great place. It's beautiful. There's a lot of sunshine, and I'm now solar powered. After I take a year off, I never really visited Denver much. I lived in Boulder for a few years. And long story long, popped myself into Denver for a day and went to all the art museums. And I walked into the Art Institute of Colorado.
Right.
So I enrolled like 3 weeks later. That's where I learned to code from scratch. That's where I got my entire multimedia degree. I learned all about motion graphics, graphic design, illustration, videography, video, you name it.
Yeah.
And I got this really creative degree. The reason I'm telling you that is during my maybe second year, I did a four-year program in 3 years. I hustled. It was fun.
Yeah.
I was finally like, this is amazing.
Right.
It's creative. I am creating again.
Right.
This is art. This is a different medium for me of art. I am also storytelling through a new, through a whole new format.
Right.
And so that really inspired me. And during my second year, there was, in the cafeteria, there was a job fair, an internship fair. And there was only one out of like 100 jobs that was a paid internship.
Right.
And I went and I got it. I ran upstairs. I made a CD-ROM and I made my portfolio on a CD-ROM. And I never forget the guy who worked for this tech company in what we call the Denver Tech Center, DTC. He was a Kiwi. He was New Zealand. And so all we really talked about was rugby for like 10 minutes. And I was like, by the way, here's my resume. I'll kill it. Hire me. And the gig was, it was like, come be a graphic designer. We have a trade show. We need someone for like maybe like 60 days.
Right, right.
I ended up working there for 9 years.
It's amazing.
It was.
That's how things happen.
That's how things happen. I didn't ask for permission. There was a very humanizing component to our meet and greet.
Totally.
And I will forever be grateful to him for giving me an opportunity. I worked there for 90 days. I nailed it. It was their most successful trade show in their history's career, still to date. And they made the most money during that trade show. I don't take credit for it, but I was a part of that. Maybe I should take credit for that. I told them, like, I need a job.
Yeah.
Because at the time at the Art Institute, I was working something like 3 part-time jobs, putting my ass through college. And I didn't mind.
Right.
I was built for the load. Not many people are on fire like I usually am in a calm state.
Yeah.
And so I was built for that. I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
I was hungry.
Yeah.
And I kept giving. And so it gave
me. I feel like you're still super hungry.
Oh,
you
yeah.
have the drive and passion and vigor.
I've got a few mountains left in me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't even. I feel like I haven't even started.
I could see that. I love it. Being around you is like invigorating me.
Thank you.
A couple questions. How do you overcome challenges?
Me?
Yeah.
Just like in general?
Yeah. Like if you have a challenge where you feel like something's impossible to achieve when you're a person like you are, or I am, there's no such thing as impossible. It's finding that door.
Right.
But how do you overcome that? How do you make something that is seemingly impossible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come to life.
And there's a lot of hurdles. Listen, any company I've ever tried to build has had a million hurdles. Bringing women to startup to life and now figuring out how to fundraise for it and how to prepare a huge summit for 2018. There's so many hurdles that it's crippling.
Yeah.
And it could be crippling. Yeah. The way I literally overcome a lot of my hurdles.
Yeah.
I exercise. So.
Oh, I love that advice.
So I have had this for most of my adult life. There is nothing I can't solve on a walk. So the more intimidated I am, the more pissed off I get. If I'm stuck on something, if something's not working itself out, I know I have to walk away from the work and I got to go pound it. It's the only way I know to move through, give my mind some space, get some good chemicals going, and to make room for me to actually solve the problem.
Yeah.
The one thing that for me that I would stress is I wish sometimes I knew how to quit. Because sometimes it's probably insane to keep going and to keep hammering on a door that doesn't want to open. And then you find yourself learning a new lesson that you simply could not learn any other way than by probably banging on the wrong door for a good 3 months. And then you do something, you have a call, you meet a new mentor at the bus stop, or you know, and someone says something and you go, holy cow, thank you. I just needed that hint that I'm not off track. I just needed to to go about it a little bit differently. Because, you know, we're stubborn. We're entrepreneurs. Our egos are constantly trying to keep us alive. But we get, you know, we make mistakes, too,
by
having that component. Yeah. And we sometimes are a little sideswiped by things. And so, honest to God, the way I get through pretty much being an entrepreneur, being a creative, being an innovator, loving technology, wanting to build new technology, is the only way. This is my biggest lesson, and I don't know if it came out of 2017 or if I've always had it with me and I'm just articulating it lately. You have to learn the difference between when it's time to rest and when it's time to quit.
How can people find out more about you? Where can they go? How can they connect with you online?
So I'm all over social media. You can look me up on Facebook and Twitter at Hey Lizelle.
Can you spell it for everybody?
Yeah, HEYLIZELLE at Hey Lizelle. And that's just how people kind of say, Hey Lizelle, this is the story of my life. Like, Hey Lizelle, can you do this? Hey Lizelle, can I have your attention? Hey Lizelle, blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, I've come to love that and appreciate that and respect that because, you know, if someone's not saying Hey Lizelle anymore, there's a problem.
You know, it's funny. I get a lot of that too. Like, hey, can you?
Yeah.
But what I was actually about to ask you is, what can I do for you to support you in your success with Women Who Start Up?
Well, I'd like to thank you for putting me on your podcast. I mean, that's very meaningful to put me on your platform. This amazing content you're creating. That is what's supportive. That,
and we're co-creating this together.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, I think this is what is really helpful. I'm out there, and women tell me this. Female entrepreneurs tell me this. It's hard for me to articulate this because I feel like a schmuck, and I am a painfully humble person. I am extremely confident, but I'm humble in the context of the people's lives I may or may not touch. And I'm sure some people, there's two schools of thoughts. Like, I can be overbearing for some people because I just don't quit.
Right.
I am tenacious and I will get shit done.
Right.
On the other side of things, I hear from a lot of people who are very grateful for how I've helped transform their careers or their companies or their lives. And that is powerful, but it's not the end game. I think if you're going to have an opportunity at this life.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you impact people's lives in a way that has context more than just hi and goodbye?
Yeah, 100%.
I feel like people live like they're going to live forever.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that for one second. Yeah. I don't know how much time I have. If I didn't have much more, hopefully the one thing that would be reflective is just how fucking hard I tried to change women's fucking trajectory.
Yeah.
To get innovation out there, to get their funding, to get great people to work for them. And that requires a bit of a bulldozer.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
You're not going to get that done by being nice to everybody. And it's not that I'm not trying to be nice. It's just I've got a big mountain to move.
Yeah, I love it. What's one thing everybody could do to support Women Who Start Up to grow? Like, what is literally, if like by the end of the week, obviously this won't air within a week, but by the end of the week, if magically something relatively attainable, I think is a weird word because anything's attainable as long as we believe it's possible.
Right.
But like something that you think a listener could actually do to help accelerate, what would that ask be?
The number one thing that I want people to come and do is go to womenwhostartup.com and become a member. Nothing is more powerful than us actually having you in our platform so that we can not just learn about what you're doing, but we can promote you, we can sponsor you, we can start telling your story. And if we have that close connection, literally, it doesn't matter where in the world you are, if you are on Women Who Start Up Connect, now I am talking to you on a daily capacity about all sorts of great stuff.
And now, men don't become members, right?
We have a few men that are incredible because they're ambassadors, they're leaders, and they want to hire or find a female co-founder.
Yeah.
And I am deliberating that, constantly soundboarding.
No, but how can men support you as well?
So men are amazing ambassadors. The many ways that guys are supporting and helping is, one, they show up to our monthly base camp events all the time.
All around the world.
At all our base camps. Okay. Absolutely. And they should, feel encouraged. And that's something that I didn't always encourage because I was building the base
for
women.
Right.
But it is almost impeccably important that they are there and that they feel welcome and that I give him a high five at pretty much every event that I can afford to get to. But I mean, basically being in contact, like, so men's role is critical. So being ambassadors are amazing. Sharing Women Who Startup, womenwhostartup.com, at Women Who Startup, sharing that. I can't tell you how many husbands have kicked their wives, you know, virtually in the butt and said, get over to this group. I met Lizelle. Like, you have got to join Women Who Start Up.
I love it.
And I'll always get the notes like, oh my God, I really want my wife to join. I really want my sister to join. I really want, I've had plenty of guys that sent their moms.
That's awesome.
So that's amazing.
And then you said you were putting a summit together in 2018. What's an ask you have to support you in putting together the summit?
Whoa. Women Who Start Up Summit 2018 is going to be a game changer. It's going to be a 1 or a 2 day event
in Denver,
Colorado. Okay. And I'm going to be a magnet for some of the most extraordinary women in tech, female entrepreneurs, female investors that I can possibly, in my mind, summon up and actually execute against. This is going to be big. I think it's going to be in October. I don't know. But if you are at least subscribed to our newsletter, you can be a part of our ongoing dialogue as we start figuring that out and figuring out how you can be involved, how you can attend, all that stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's... have you ever created a conference before?
Oh, well, I've done a lot of events. A conference of that nature?
Because I think I have an introduction for you.
Beautiful.
Like, really successful female founder in Canada.
Perfect.
Who successfully has done a ton of conferences. Perfect. And that would be cool.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. We want gurus. You know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't want you to second guess yourself.
Right? There's,
do it.
I call it a mentorship culture. Mm-hmm. If we live in the mentorship culture, we're never too good to learn or to ask for help.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even though it's tough at times, you absolutely have to turn every rock.
Totally.
How do I do X? Please teach me.
Totally.
And don't be so hard on other women. Please encourage each other to want to do better. Share your knowledge. That is one of the most underused things that we can do for each other. This is why I want to build a culture of knowledge sharing.
I love it. Give me five. That's a third five. Thank you for being on the Women in Tech podcast. You guys want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech? Remember, you could go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is womenintechvip.com. That way you don't get lost and ask me about the 1 million Women in Tech Facebook groups, because which one's the right one. So you go to womenintechvip.com or tweet Women in Tech Show to say hi. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode on the Women in Tech Road Trip Tour. Thank you, Kia. Seriously, how amazing is, like,
this car is badass.
Right?
This car is badass.
This literally, I think, should be marketed as a mobile podcasting studio.
I'm down.
Like,
I mean,
it's cool in here.
It's very cool.
And it's a hot day.
And we're not, like, ruining the planet because it's a hybrid car.
It's like, I'm blown away by how comfortable, like, genuinely.
Genuinely, it's just, I'm like, cozy. I have had the best podcast experience ever. Thank you, Kia. That's what's up.
So, bye, guys!
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.